to the Word of God together. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 25. If you're using a Bible in the pew there, that's on page 811. Let us hear the word of Christ together. Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we ask now that the Spirit would move and work in our hearts as we think of the greatness of our God and King. Specifically, as we think on you, our Father, our Maker, who is our husband and provider, we pray that tonight we make application and receive comfort from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, our catechism for this week ahead is Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 9, and it's simply one question and one answer. And so I want to encourage you to be using this catechism throughout the week, perhaps reading it, thinking on it, using it in family worship, talking about it at the Lord's Day table. It is helpful to systematically walk through the doctrines of the Scripture. And if you recall, several weeks ago, the catechism question asked you the basic articles of the faith, and basically the answer was the Apostles' Creed. 12 basic statements, if you will, regarding the main elements of our faith, believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, and on and on and on this ancient creed goes to summarize our faith. Well, here in Lord's Day 9, the question is now going to begin to walk through those elements of the Apostles' Creed, one by one. And this Lord's Day, the question is this: what dost thou believe when thou sayest, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth? And here is the answer: that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who of nothing made heaven and earth, with all that is in them, who likewise upholds and governs the same by his eternal counsel and providence, is for the sake of Christ his Son, my God and my Father, in whom I so trust as to have no doubt that he will provide me with all things necessary for body and soul, and further, that whatever evil he sends upon me in this vale of tears, he will turn to my good. For he is able to do it, being Almighty God, and willing also, being a faithful Father. A faithful Father, that is one of the things that we confess when we say together, often frequently here at Grace throughout the various months, the Apostles' Creed. But that creed really is simply a summary of the basic teachings of our faith. And one of them is that we worship a triune God. But this God is our Father. And when we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, what are we saying? One of the reference texts that was written in the 1500s when this catechism was put together was Matthew 6, 25 and following. What does it mean to trust that, quote, He will provide me with all things necessary for body and soul? What does it mean to confess that whatever evil, we could translate that as well, or correspond that to our own day, to whatever things that are bad, things that are trials, that He sends upon me in this, and I love this phrase, veil of tears, He will turn to my good. When we confess these things, what biblical support is there for such ideas? One such text would be Matthew 6. Right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is teaching what the lives of believers look like. He first begins in His teaching by the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the pure in heart. These are not steps to perform in order to gain salvation. They are descriptions of those that are saved. Then He moves into a discussion of how we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And He addresses various aspects of the law, showing how the law is not something that was simply written on stone, but it also applies to our hearts. And then He teaches us to pray. Our Father in heaven, the one that is close, the one that is near, the one that we have intimate relationship with, hallowed be Your name. Make Your name holy. Our Father who is close and yet who is o'er all things, make Your name holy. And He teaches us to pray. And then He says in verse 19 of Matthew 6, don't lay up for yourselves treasures here on earth. Why, boys and girls? Well, Jesus gets quite specific. Because they fall apart. They don't last. He says, moth and rust destroy, and thieves can break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Then He reminds us about serving money. He says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. And then He makes this statement, you cannot serve God and money. And that it's in this context of describing believers, of talking how they live their lives, of teaching them how to pray, of reminding them that there are not to be treasures sought here on earth, but in heaven, focusing on the kingdom of God more than the temporal vapor that is this life. It's in this context that He says in Matthew 6, 25, therefore, so based on all of these things, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. And then He gives a list of things that we can often be anxious about. And you might insert your own category of things in this list. In this time, people literally wondered perhaps where tomorrow's meal was going to come from. For most of us in America, in the West, that's not something that we really worry about. We simply go to the fridge, we go to the store, and even when we lose our job or don't have money in the bank, it's usually not literally that day that we don't know where our food is going to come from. But Jesus uses examples of His time. Don't worry about what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body. Now we're starting to get into things that we can sink our teeth into in our own experience. What you will put on. Is not life more than food? And the body more than clothing? So based on all of this, Jesus tells us not to be anxious. And then He gives two pictures, doesn't He, from nature. Two pictures. We'll go through them, but in summary, here's what the Lord does. He says, God is sovereignly involved in feeding even the birds and arranging the flowers. So birds and flowers. Therefore, we should rest. That if He has such great care over these things, how much more will He providentially care for His image bearers? His image bearers are who are now sons and daughters in Christ. So let's look at these. Look at verse 26. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And then he says in verse 28, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed or clothed like one of these. Verse 30, but if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Jesus has already taught that God is our Father in this sermon. If you go back to chapter 5 and verse 45, when he's talking about loving your enemies, he says, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. And then in chapter 6, he teaches his disciples to pray in a way that would have been quite bold to those listening. To call God Father, our Father in heaven. So the fatherhood of God is already a theme here, and it's this theme that this catechism question picks up. When you say that you believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, do you mean it? That God, one God in three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit, but God is our Father who is almighty. He can do all things, that he's the maker of all things, heaven and earth. And do we really believe with Matthew chapter 6 and with the catechism writers of the 1500s that God will provide us with all things necessary for body and soul? Because he is able to do it, being Almighty God and willing to do it, because he is a faithful Father. So in our text, Jesus commands us to flee anxiety about life and food and clothing. And he gives us two examples. And his examples are examples from nature, but they're really ways of saying, look, if God cares for that which will burn tomorrow in the fire, or the bird that will no longer be alive tomorrow, how much more value are you? Now, we live in a day where far too many churches, far too many pulpits, far too many songs spend a lot of time trying to convince you that you are important, that we need to build self-esteem. That's what the gospel is. God loves you because you are something great. And we have to work against a lot of that because the book of the Bible is not about us. It's about God. And yet, there are places in the text where God says to his children, you have value. Not that we want to write all of our hymns and arrangements centered on us and our feelings alone, but God says, you have value. I am your Father. If I care for that which is not my child, how much more will I not care for you? So Jesus teaches in verse 27 then sort of the uselessness of anxiety. As a person who knows what it's like to be anxious, I can tell you this is right. Now you don't need me to tell you from my experience that the word of God is right, but I can attest to this. Look at verse 27. Which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to his span of life? In other words, look at the folly of anxiety. Look at the folly of worrying about these kinds of things on a regular basis, because it won't add anything to your life. And then in verse 30, look what he says. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? There is a sense in which worry stems from unbelief. I'm going to give a caveat here. But anxiety can flow out of not trusting the Lord. Now here's my caveat. We are people who have been broken by the fall. And as people who have been broken by the fall, our own bodies are susceptible to disease and to death and to decay of all manner, including our minds. And there are indeed times in which biologically we can experience depression, anxiety. I'm not trying to turn this into an advertisement for our conference, but please come 3 weeks from now. We will dig into this theologically with Dr. Murray. But for now, let me say this. There are going to be experiences of these things. But let's not temper or cut off what Jesus is teaching here. Sure, there are biological components to certain people's experiences of depression and anxiety and other things. But Jesus, nonetheless, is teaching us that we can also be susceptible to worry and anxiety that's sinful. It's unbelief. So don't walk home tonight and think, well, Pastor Ryan doesn't understand how I get anxious and depressed because of my fallen biology. No, not that at all. What I'm asking you to do is consider the spiritual components that might be a part of the factor. And that over which you can apply Jesus' counsel. Anxiety doesn't add anything to your life, but ultimately it may point out to you that you may not be trusting the Father. I may not be trusting the Father as I ought. Now, the psalmist has this to say in Psalm 55. This might be a wonderful verse to meditate upon this week ahead. Just one verse. Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. Cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. Now, if we're honest, aren't there those of us in this room tonight? Aren't there those in our church? Aren't there those in this country, in this world, who could say, I cast my burden upon the Lord, but He didn't take it away. I've given over my worry and my burden to the Lord, but He didn't make it easier. But notice what the psalmist says. Cast your burden on the Lord, and what will He do? He'll sustain you. You remember the catechism, that God will provide everything necessary for body and soul. He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. This is not a promise that He will remove every burden. This is not a promise that if you pray a prayer a certain way, God will make it easy. Sometimes He does take burdens away. But the promise of the psalm is, give your burden to the Lord, the Father who loves you and cares for you, who says that you have much more value than the flowers of the field or the birds of the air. And what does He say? He says, I'll sustain you. There's a sense in which we might look at that and say, Lord, I cast my burden on You. And the Lord says, through this burden, a week, a month, a lifetime, I will sustain you. But Lord, I don't want the burden. Thank You for the sustaining grace, but I don't want the burden. And then we remember Romans 8:28, don't we? Which is also a text of our catechism question. God will work all things together for His glory and the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. So the writers of the catechism say that whatever evil He sends upon me in this veil of tears, He will turn to my good. Don't believe the catechism as your source. Believe the very words that it's drafted from. Our Father, who is almighty, who is the maker of all things, who providentially guides and rules over all things, will care for us, body and soul. Therefore, verse 31 of Matthew 6, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. God has not forgotten what we need. He may not always give us what we want, but he has not forgotten what we need. But then we're given one other instruction, which, if developed over the course of our lives, will work against our anxiety and worry. Look what he says in verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. What things? What things? What all these things? Well, what we eat, what we drink, what we wear. All these things will be added to you. So what are we to seek? Well, we're to seek the kingdom of God as revealed in the person of Christ. What Christ has done for us, and seeking to follow Christ and living a life in keeping with the gospel and serving unto our God and rejoicing in what God has done and being exuberant and full of exaltation for the gospel and for our own salvation, for the glories of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And on it goes. Seek these things first and God's righteousness. And what will he do? He'll take care of clothing you like the lilies of the field or the birds of the air. That phrase there, seek, in verse 32, for the Gentiles seek after these things. You remember, at this point, Jesus' audience is largely a Jewish one, if not almost exclusively. We aren't to see here a division that this sermon is only for Jews, though. He's referencing those who, as of yet, have been outside the good news of God's saving grace. For the Gentiles seek after, that could be translated run after. The world is running after the accumulation of things, not just what we need, but more than that, what we want. What does Jesus say? Look, you seek. You seek God's kingdom first. Treasure it above all things, and God will provide in his providential care what you need. There is a calming effect in the heart of the anxious child that happens when that child's heart is reminded again and again and again of the care of the parent. There's a calming effect for you and for me when we set our hearts on God's kingdom. It may not take all of the anxious feelings away. There's a calming effect when every day we realize, you know, the Lord is going to provide today. It might even be beneficial, friends, for us to actually pray the way Jesus taught us to pray. Gather the family in the morning and say, Lord, would you give us food today? Almost seems kind of small, doesn't it? I mean, there's a refrigerator full of food, and why pray? Lord, would you give us food today? And then at the end of the day, Lord, thank you for providing our food. And you just get into the habit of seeing the Lord as the provider. He may use your work and your paycheck as a means, but make no mistake, friends. God is the one clothing you. God is the one nourishing you. God is the one who keeps you from being thirsty. So seek his kingdom first and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So verse 34, as we close. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. This is a practical, day-by-day thing. If you're like me, you like to think in weeks or months or years. I'm a little bit of a planner. Maybe you're not like that. Maybe you are. But Jesus gives us very, very practical advice here. He says, don't be anxious about tomorrow. He doesn't mean that we should be unwise, that we should never consider how to think about things, how to store up. And there are other proverbs and other passages of scriptures that speak to that. But here, as it relates to worry, as it relates to trusting our Father, what does he say? Do not be anxious about tomorrow. Just trust the Lord's hand for today. And when tomorrow comes, Focus on that day. And step by step, you're continuing to live out the confession. I actually believe in God the Father, who is almighty. There will be nothing that happens to me today, good or bad, in this veil of tears, that He is not able, in abundance, to do. And I believe that He is the maker of heaven and of earth. And as the maker of all of reality, He guides and provides. And the sovereign God of the universe, who is infinite, who is grander than my finite mind will ever be able to take in, it is this God who says to me, I am your Father. I'm not just your God. I'm not just the sum total of all of reality's foundation. I'm not just the one who cannot be divided into any parts. I'm not just the one who is holy and untainted by your sin. I'm not just the one who can do all things, who can be everywhere at the same time, who can do anything. I'm not just that one. I am your Father. So we confess, don't we, that this Father who sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins, whose Son is the surety for our salvation, whose Son's very promise is that He will not leave us in the grave. It's this Father that we trust. And He will provide me with all things necessary for body and soul. Friends, our bodies are broken and bruised and needy and hurting. We have needs. Meals have to be eaten. Water has to be consumed. Our bodies need to be clothed. There are doctors to be visited. Disease will at some point overtake us if we live to be close to 100. And we're subject to decay. But do you know that in just a very short while, the God who's promised to you in His Word tonight to care for you in body and soul will be the God that if you had the ability, which I'm not sure you would, but following the resurrection and the new heaven and the new earth, if you had the ability to say, this is what I regret, I don't think we will. But if we had the ability, we might look back and say, I regret how often I didn't look to this day and remind myself, He will not leave me in the ground, and when He raises me, no disease, no hunger, no sin, no loss, no tears, for He's my Father who cares for me, body and soul. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank You that we can come to You through the finished work of Your Son, and we can rest tonight that You care for us. Lord, some in this room don't seem to relate to anxiety. Others in this room perhaps can find themselves anxious and worried. Sometimes, Lord, our own broken bodies contribute to this, but many times it's that we need these reminders from Your Scriptures, that You tell us to trust that You will sustain us in our burdens, that You will provide for us. So, Lord, would we tonight, through the Spirit and this Word preached, fix our gaze upon the Rock of Ages again and hide ourselves there. We thank You for Your grace, Your goodness, and Your salvation. Lord, we pray this tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.